This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Rivers, those large bodies of fresh flowing water, embody many different values to different people. Many social and economic benefits derived from rivers are dependent on good all-round river health. But sadly, many rivers around the world, and including here in Malaysia, are severely degraded or at risk, which undermines their ability to provide critical ecosystem services and related benefits. So in conjunction with World River Day 2020, joining me now is Dr. K. Kalitasan, the manager of the River Care Program at the Global Environment Center. And he's joining me to discuss the need to protect, conserve and promote living rivers and their biodiversity. Welcome, Dr. Kali. How are you today?
Good. Thank you for having me here. And as well, World Rivers Day for you and to the listener as well. And it's celebrated yesterday.
That's right. It's celebrated on the fourth Sunday of every September. Am I correct? Well, welcome back to the show, Dr. Kali. You know, it's been ages since we've had you on. How have things been, you know, at the Global Environment Center?
Okay, good. As you know, lately, GEC is very active on the protecting and supporting the stakeholders on the importance of the environment protection and conservation. Mm-hmm. And thank God people are aware, stakeholders, but nevertheless still no work need to be done because there's a lot of pressure coming in. And new factor also coming in due to the climate change as well as COVID-19 is another new problem on the board. Mm-hmm. So we need to know how to handle it.
Okay, yeah, and we're going to talk about that, you know. But before we get into that, you know, I did mention you're the manager of the River Care Program. Could you explain, you know, what this program focuses on and what it's all about?
I mean, as you know, Global Environment is a locally registered non-profit NGO since 1998, okay? Our focus not only on the local but also at the global level. Eh? So some of the program that we are focusing on is river care, forest and coastal, peatland, as well as outreach and partnership, which are our four pillars of Global Environment Center. And our motto is very unique. We always believe in a partnership, so that our motto is build partnership for the environment. That's very important that everyone must know as a stakeholder that building partnership for everyone is vital. It's not only for human being, but also flora and fauna. Plants and animals have equal right, if not more than human being, to present or coexist with human being. So that is the core value of GEC. Protect and build partnership for everyone, not only for human being, but also flora as well as the fauna, animal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So preserving biodiversity.
Right. Okay. So when we go focus on the river, of course, our tagline is River Care, We Care. Because one of the key element that most of the time people overlook or missing, we say missing gap in the implementation or caring for the river, is the river people's engagement or role on that. So therefore, GEC have come up with a tagline called River Care, We Care. So because last time they always say, who cares? No, it's responsible of the government or as a taxpayer. No? So it's about local authorities' role to look after the environment, look after the rubbish collection and so on. Mm-hmm. But what we are saying, yes, it's true, the agencies have their own role, but nevertheless, we as a citizen of the world, we have our own role to play. Otherwise, the whole system will collapse. Okay, and generally, what we are caring for the river is simplify how easy about and how close we are with the river and so on. And we always work with our core value of Integrated River Basin Management, IRBM, that one of the issues that everyone have a role to play. Mm-hmm. And all of us are within the river basin. So in GEC River Care Program, we focus on river basin, not river. Because sometimes we might stay in the same different river, but within the same river basin.
Right.
Therefore, we need to understand that. No? So where we live, in which basin, and where our drinking water come from. Mm. So sometimes you might live in a river A, but your drinking water comes from river B. So sometimes we only care for our own river. I mean, as a nature of, especially Malaysian, they only care for their backyard. Mm. So they only care for, sometimes they care for the river. But unfortunately, they need to understand sometimes the river water come from different basin. Mm-hmm. I'll give you one example. If you ever live in a certain part of PJ, okay, the river is a Klang River Basin. Mm. Okay, that's their immediate river. But sometimes their drinking water not coming from Klang River, but coming from Selangor River, which proven during the 2-3 weeks ago, badly affected.
Yes.
All things. So these are the issue people have. So therefore, in a river care, we explain thinking about this, the way and how you see river and river basin and so on. And one of the key niche for river care is stakeholder engagement, especially local and public engagement, because we believe they are the key factor for the sustainable river management, not so much by the agencies, but also equally important, the bottom-up is must complement the top-down approach by the agencies.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. You know, a lot of people don't realize, don't think about where their water comes from. Yeah. You know, it's just water from the tap, right? Until you know, an issue like Sungai Gong happens. And, you know, it's so easy to forget how important rivers are to us, you know, until pollution cases arises. Yeah. And so I guess, you know, in terms of awareness, are Malaysians clued into the role rivers play in their daily lives?
That's a very tricky question. It's difficult to answer, you know, because we are in this field for the last 20 years. I have to say, to some extent, people do aware. They know the issue. But unfortunately, they don't internalize that. They don't really understand to extend about river basin concept, the IRBM. They always think that, you know, as long as they care for the river, is enough. Okay, I'm a taxpayer, I've done my part, all these things. But they need to properly understand how the river system works. The nucleus for the river is not forest, even though forest is important for the catchment. In urban area, one of the key feeders are from the monsoon drain and drain, which start from our homes.
That's right.
So that is very important. People need to understand that river is not a stand-alone system. It's a part of our life because 97% of our potable water comes from river, one of the highest in the world. So therefore, whether we like it or not, we need to care. Care not only for aesthetic value, but it's a basic need for human, but also for other activities, from industry, from agriculture, for all these things. So therefore, at this point, people don't really understand where their drinking water come from. They only make noise the moment they don't have water in their tap.
That's right.
Most of them, from my point of view, care for the water quality per se before things happen. So that's why we always believe that prevention is better than curative. But especially Malaysia now is more on the curative mode. When his incident happened, then want to be, you know, immediate action to be taken. But I believe that all of us, we need to understand that we need to be more proactive. So I think that part is still people not aware or still silent in this country.
So only when something goes wrong, that's when they sort of bring it up, right? And I remember I was reading an interview with you from a few years ago, right? And GEC actually conducted a survey or an interview, and they found that less than 30% of people in Kuala Lumpur knew that the drain in front of their house led to a river. You know, are they aware of how their actions can impact the health and cleanliness of rivers?
That's very pertinent question, very important question, because what is really sad when we communicate with the people, not only at the grassroots level, even at the institutional level, people still are not clearly understood the river basin and how our water supply system works. Okay, as you mentioned, that drain is important. That is the feeder to the bigger monsoon drain and finally into river and ocean and sea. But we need to understand there is a four element when we talk about importance of river as a potable water supply. One is the dam or reservoir. Okay. Second is a water treatment plant. Because we cannot use it, so we need to treat the water.
Right.
And the third one is what we call the distribution, the supply system. So a lot of people think their treated water comes from the treatment plant, which treated water from the dam. Which is not correct. There are only few water treatment systems that having that kind of system where they receive water direct from the dam or reservoir. But majority of the water treatment plant in the country who actually abstracting water direct from the river. So not from the dam. So a lot of people don't understand when we say care for your river. You know, river pollution caused this water destruction. People don't understand what's that have to do with me. You know, because water comes from the dam. How come dam pollutant? See, people don't understand. You have to understand that some of the water intake, if you go and see where they extract the raw water, I'm talking about the raw water for the treatment, people won't drink.
Oh dear.
You have to know and see how bad the condition. And then only people, so that's what we think currently, that is lacking. People not aware, people never been seen to see the raw water. That's why when our neighboring country announced the new water, people say, oh, Singaporeans are drinking that water, you know, you know what's the new water all about.
Yes.
But we have to understand, how about us? We also extracting from the river. Mm-hmm. And the river is sometimes 30, 40 kilometers or even 50 kilometers from the dam.
Mm-hmm.
And within these 30, 40 kilometers, there's so many feeder. And that is a good example that we face is Selangor. So it's one of the tributaries that go into the Selangor River. And anything goes into the feeder, finally ends up in the main thing and go into the water intake and cause the problem that we face.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things. So people need to understand that the water abstraction are coming direct from the river.
Mm-hmm.
If you and I fail to look and monitor the river or to ensure that nothing ends up from our home or the resident or even industrial, then is the problem forever. So we need to be proactive. We need to take a sustainable approach. Otherwise, you cannot. That is the thing. So people need to understand that the water come from the river, not dam, not treatment plant. Yes, it's after treatment, but where the raw water for the treatment plant come from is the river, 97% of that.
That's right. And, you know, if you don't take an active role in preserving it, you know, you're going to be the one who suffers from, you know, the consequences of pollution. Mm. And, you know, from a conservation standpoint, what are some of the immediate or short-term consequences of incidents like the one at Sungai Gong?
I think we always mention that, you know, people need to understand the water connection, that all of us are interconnected, okay? Either through the direct water flow, water body, or indirect, because there is also virtual water, okay? If you look in our country, 76% of water, river water being used for agriculture. What that have to do is because our food comes from there.
That's right.
Okay? And another 23% for industrial. Okay, and the balance only for residential. So we need to understand that. No, so therefore, that water connection is a key word. We need to understand. So it's not only what you and I do at our home, but also how you and I behave and act. Even our food, what we wear, all these all interconnected. This is what we call water connection. Mm-hmm. That's very, very important. And we always use this tagline that water is life, water for life. River is our lifeline. Therefore, please help us to protect the river, to protect our life. See, when we say protect your river, it's not protecting river for river itself, but actually it's to protect ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because we depend on the river. We depend on the nature. Okay, not the other way. So therefore, we have to understand that we need to play on this role, concept that we are depend on environment, especially in this case, river. So therefore, we need to understand that it's not only when you throw rubbish into the river, you're polluting a river, but also this invisible pollution act that also contribute. It's not what you and I do when people are watching, but also what you and I fail to do when people are not watching.
That's right.
That is equally important. And that is one of the key things that we always say that you must understand that you and nature. It's not you and enforcement unit or you and, say, for example, agencies or you and the PBT or the known. It's you and nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? If you fail to do your role, your part, the end of the day, you are the one impacting the river and you'll be impacted by their own action.
Definitely. And I mean, those are, you know, some serious short-term and long-term consequences and effects. What about, you know, from an economic standpoint, you know, what are the consequences of issues like pollution, for example?
I think it's interconnected, as I say then.
Mm-hmm.
Even you look at the SDG goal, okay? Even though we have one specific SDG goal for water, SDG goal 6, but all other SDG goal cannot function or cannot be achieved without water. So water is a prime, is actually everything, no? Everything interconnected, as I said. So therefore, in our Malaysia, river is not only for portable water supply, which for residential, but also for agriculture, for industrial, as well for hydropower. Okay, if you see then. So when you look into that, so when you look into broader scope, industrial function through the water.
Mm.
So that is one of the GDP. So if you don't protect your river, it's not only going to affect our water supply, it will affect our health, as well as our income.
Mm.
And also when we say GDP, when there's no water supply or water availability for the industrial, there are no investor going to come to country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already happening. You see, one of the key factors before they invest heavily into any part of the world, one of the things they look into the water, because water is essential.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't protect this, and then we'll have problem not only for water supply, but also on the bigger scale, which is including the GDP of the country. Industrially affected means also will lead to job opportunity and also social element.
That's right.
Not only spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So this is very important. People need to understand that. It's all interconnected. You don't look after this. Like, for example, recently when there is a water shortage for so many days, even 3-4 days, it's not only people suffer. Yes, I do. We do suffer there. But you have to understand that we are still lucky. Because why? Even though we have to fork out some extra money to buy water bottle, even though I don't encourage, but it's happened there. Mm. But you have to understand, how about a hospital?
Yeah.
How about a dialysis center who cannot afford? There are so many people who cannot afford to buy clean water from the supermarket, hypermarket. That's the thing. Second, how many company closed down or retrenched happened? People lost job because there's no production, no management, nothing. Operational is not happening. So these are the things. So people need to understand. So I would say that even though sometimes this incident is not something welcomed, but there is a lesson for us to learn. Unfortunately, Malaysian have short memory. Yeah. Every time incident happened, they wah. After immediately within a week or two, back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that COVID-19 as well as this incident will last in people's memory, that how important the environment to us and what we're going to face if we don't do our role.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And you know, just from a research sort of point of view, right, are there gaps in understanding and improving Malaysia's water sustainability and management?
I think, as I mentioned in the early one, the backbone of water resource management and potable water is IWRM, Integrated Water Resource Management. I think the concept is well known, I mean, all the agencies. But unfortunately, how to interpret that at the grassroots level is still lacking.
Mm.
So I would say that's the first gap, that even though people know, people are talking about IWRM or even IRBM, Integrated River Basin Management, the concept-wise, but whether laymen do understand. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is, in Malaysia, very unique, the federal-state conflict. Because land and water come under the state.
State government, that's right.
Okay, state government, where federals cannot oversee that. They're not going to override all the things. So there's a conflict. So we need to look into that and solve that as soon as possible. Otherwise, politically, certain federal, some state cannot go along. And certain decision will be based on the political interest rather than the needs of the people or need by the environment. So that need to be solved. That's the second thing. The third one is, we also need to understand that the water availability, okay? So a lot of people think that Malaysia been blessed. Yes, it's true. We've been blessed between 3,000 to 5,000 millimeter per annum rain.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we are facing a lot of rain. But due to the climate change, there's two things happen, which is very scary. Number one, raining pattern change. Those will be know when is the raining season, when is the dry season, all these things we know, we can predict. Even though we have a prediction model now, but it is always confusing. You can't predict, really. So that is the thing. One, the density is unpredictable. Sometimes the high density during certain hours, sometimes totally drought. Number two, that cause the, sometimes you have water around you, unfortunately, availability that. It's another issue. It happened during the big flood in the East Coast, okay? A few years ago, you know, people suffer because of no clean water.
Mm-hmm.
They do have water, but unfortunately not clean water. So these are the new challenges that we face and the thing there. And the other one also, when we said integrated water resource management. So a lot of people think it's about technical department only important for that, like say DID or DOE or even SPAN. But we always think that it's not only technical agencies and ministry, but also the other unit also equally important, like EPU. We also need financial part. Because why? At the end of the day, money talks. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need money. Okay, we need money for the infrastructure and so on. And who controlling that? It's a planning unit.
Mm.
So sometimes we must also understand that the concept of IWRM, the involvement is not only the technical agencies and the related ministry, but also the planning unit, economy planning unit, Ministry of Finance. all is equally important. So everyone need to come understand, because the investment, the planning in, let's say now, next year we are going to RM12 nation plan, and the budget allocation will be happen this year. And most of the time, who control is, of course, the input come from respective NGOs, but the end decision is by the Ministry of Finance and with the planning unit.
That's right.
And of course, cabinet approval and so on, and parliament endorsement. But the thing is, if they don't understand the planning unit, the people behind the people involved on the governance part, that's another gap. For us, that is one of the key gaps that we need to close as soon as possible. So that whoever approving this, they know they channel the fund to the right sector or right area mm-hmm. that currently need attention for the important and for the interest of the public and also the country. See, people think water is a basic need. Yes, but we also have to understand that sometimes we need to see water as a commodity. Commodity for not only for the layman, but also for the industry, for agriculture and so on. So currently, based on my understanding, my involvement for the last 20 years, there is no single agency involved in water distribution. It means, say, for example, in River A, okay, Klang River example, okay, that, you know, who have right to extract the water? Mm-hmm. How much water to be extracted? Okay, how much gold should go for the industrial? How much should go for agriculture sector? How much should go for the people, for the residential user? And how much must go for the environment? Because environment also need water. So this is not happening at this point. Like in certain countries, it's already happened. In fact, the planning part already happened 12 or even 2 years in ahead. They already know, okay, next year, what, how much water predicted and how much go for the each industrial sector or other sector.
That's right.
So that even they advise the farmers, okay, only for this year due to the projection, so much water, you only can plant this kind of commodity, because that based on the water needs. Mm-hmm. Because some plants need more water and things. So as I said, plan ahead. We need to look into that.
Mm-hmm. And you're right, you know, the Malaysia plan is coming up. You know, we really need to get those messages out that this is a matter of national security and it's really critical. So another thing, Dr. Kali, you know, can you tell us about, you know, other sorts of pollutants that we find, especially in cities like Kuala Lumpur, you know, that affects our water supplies?
I think the basic thing people need to understand, when we say pollution, it's not about only rubbish or the clarity of the water. Like Malaysia, we famous for teh tarik concept and so on. And when we say river and issue, we only talk about quality and quantity, you know. But let me put it in a different perspective, that we also need to change our way of thinking with the latest things what's happening at a global level. Number one, we also have to look at that when you say pollution about impact on biodiversity. Okay, the plants and animal. When you remove that, as I say, that's a remediant factor for the river. Mm-hmm. When you remove that, they also affect the what they call water quality and quantity as well. And the other one, when we say pollution, beside the rubbish and the tetare, the turbidity, we have few alarming issue lately, such as microplastic. A lot of studies shows that is already into our blood and so on, microplastic. And the other one is hormone. Okay, pharmaceutical waste that, you know, when people buy medicine after they expire, they just dump in there, it's going into water body and cause a lot of effect. And it's not predicted, it's already happening. Okay, the other one is we call BCP, pesticide, heavy metals, hydrocarbon, all these are the alarming pollution factor that's coming in. And therefore, that's why we say that dirty water or polluted water do kill. Whether it's going to kill the human being, but we can see the impact on the plants and animal. It's all changed, you know. So when the heavy metal goes into the fish and it ends up in the human being, go into plants, absorbed by plants, it's coming to us. So we need to understand that. I would say that not to scare people, but people to understand polluted water do kill. So please wake up and do your part.
Yeah, and I mean, just moving on, you know, you do also do work with the River of Life initiatives, right? And, you know, you're talking about how we all should participate, you know, bottom up, we should participate. How can we participate in the River of Life public outreach program or the role POP, which was initiated by the DID?
I think, as you rightly said, public outreach program is actually under the River of Life is one of the biggest river rehabilitation ever undertaken by Malaysian government in early 2011, something like that, with the aim to change the mindset, because currently people see river as a liability. where the idea is we want to turn that into become asset for the country. Okay, right. So we want waterfront rather than behind. So if you go to any major city in the world, a river is always become a riverfront. That's what they call. You know? It increases the property value, you know, right. All system is spiritual, recreational, and so on. And also transportation and so on, all the things. So that is the one of the main idea to turn the Klang River, to transform the Klang River into living, vibrant, and clean river, okay? And there is in total 13 initiative, and this year is actually supposed to be the final year for the initiative, for the River of Life. But I've been informed that they might extend on the physical work and so on. But when come to public outreach program, the main idea is to empower all the stakeholders, general public, local communities, industrial players, as well as a food operator, and all the key players there about their role, as what we earlier we mentioned that, how their act or action or ineffectiveness of their behavior changes lead to the pollution of the Klang River.
That's right.
Because a lot of people don't understand. No, I have never thrown anything into the Klang River. But you wash your plate at the backyard. Even though there is a dedicated place at we call basin for you to clean the thing, but some of the things, if you go see that, we call that cost salish water. So one of the key issue in urban area is salish water. The dirty water comes from the building or thing. Because under the Building Act and also under the local bylaws, all this thing, all except rainwater should go into a treatment plant, sewage treatment plant. Mm-hmm. So drain meant for rainwater only. Nothing should end up in the drain. But currently, what happened there is all others, the unwanted water ends up in the drain. Okay, yeah. Including waste, solid waste, that clog and that cause flash flood and so on. So the River of Life is about that. So it's we link the public and also other stakeholders with the respective agency, because we have 13 initiative. So whatever area they're interested in, so we link with that. So we also conduct a lot of training and also develop app for them to not only share the good part, also the any pollution that they can see, you know, we call Citizen Eye and so on. People can log into our website, can contact us to know how they can play their role and how to go about it. GEC, even though the RoPop is coming to end of this year, GEC will continue, because we are NGO, we are not consultant or contractor, we are NGO. So it's our core business. With or without any funding project or program, the program will continue. Okay. That's what GEC all about.
Okay. And, you know, just on that, you know, talking about changes that we can make, you know, what are some simple changes, you know, all of us can adopt in our daily lives to prevent pollutants from entering our rivers, you know?
I think the solution is too simple. But sometimes in Malaysia, anything simple is difficult. It's very complicated to be implemented, because people are thinking the plan must be great, you know, mega. So we say simple. If you want to ask me what's the most, what you call durable and most effective action that do, please ensure your drain clean. Can you believe? That's a simple thing. If all drain is clean in the country, the river can look after itself. The river, because the feeder is the drain and monsoon drain. If the feeder is clean, the end receiver will be clean too. And if you say God created the river in a with a what you call natural characteristic. River have a natural characteristic. One of the characteristics is to cleanse herself. River can cleanse herself using some of the cleanser tools, like we call wetland plants. So wetland plant can absorb the pollution, then that's how river look after herself. Mm. So, but why now the pollution? Because the loading, the pollution load is more than the capability of the river to handle. It's like, so okay, I can carry only 10 kilos, but if you put 30 kilos on myself, then I die. Lah. Yeah, no. That's what happening to our river. So it's nothing wrong with the river. Is people's behavior, the pollution load. And we need to understand that every river have their own carrying capacity. The Oconee can accept certain amount of pollution. Mm-hmm. It's not cannot, can. But it must be in more manageable and controlled manner. It's up to the river. If the small river, is a smaller carrying capacity. So we should only allow certain percentage of the pollution, which at the permitted level, to go in. And so what we can do, two things. Maintain care for river. Nothing should end up from our home. Second, manage all your waste, solid waste as well as liquid waste. Now, some of the issue, beside the solid waste, also use cooking oil. Malaysian love to fry. Yes. And sometimes they also healthy conscious, but I don't know how it works. You care for health, but the other side, you fry a lot of food there.
Yes.
And after they fry the oil, they don't want to reuse that because it's carcinogenic. So what they do, they just dump it into the drain and so on. And that causes massive problem to our river. So if we can just, this is, it's very simple. If you can ensure that nothing goes out from your home except the permitted one, by conducting recycling, do composting that. Because statistics, composition of the waste, almost 50% is organic waste, which can turn into fertilizer. Okay? So that means you reduce the pollution that goes out and ends up in the river. Mm-hmm. And that's how your role. So a lot of people say, oh, should I come and clean the river? I mean, okay, if we can do that. But what the most important is what you and I can do within our mean. Maintain the drain, care for your waste management. If every Malaysian can do that, I think river can look after itself with the support of the relative agencies. So it's a very simple formula. As I say, it's a simple, sometimes very difficult to understand and difficult to do. Because you need people's behavior changes.
That's the hardest thing, la, Dr. Kali. Mm. Behavioral change, isn't it? And, you know, are there any river-related communities that, you know, you would recommend people participate in, you know, to get more involved and to help out?
Yes, I mean, lately there's a lot of community coming forward because previously we say 10, 15 years, people are more reactive. So when incident happen, then only they want to come forward. But lately, I would say for the last 5 years, people already come forward, be proactive. There's a lot of pop-up here and there about the Friends of Rivers.
Yes.
Okay. Even under GEC, we have so many groups that the first Friends of Rivers initiated in back in 2012. In Kelantan, Friends of Kelantan Lake and so on. Currently, we have Friends of River Malaysia. We have, like for Selangor, state government yesterday, I mean, 2 days ago, they launched Friends of Selangor. In GC, we have Friends of Klang River Basin. So under the Friends of Klang River Basin, we have 32 groups, okay, which from the upstream to the Port Klang, who are looking after their river. Mm-hmm. So if you want me to name some of them from the source, which is Taman Warisan, where community care and maintain the area. Further down is Malawati, which I think quite famous now. I think for the last 2 years, they are every Saturday, Sunday, people are going and doing a lot of cleanup with the local communities. And coming further down, Keramat AU2 is one of the most successful model about how community can adapt the river reserve and turn into social and economic venue for them. So now, is previously, there is a lot of unwanted cases, including drugs and dengue. Now you can see they won a lot of awards from liability become asset. That's one good example, AU2 in Che Halim. And then you further down near Mid Valley, there's another good example, Friends of Mid Valley, where they do cleanup every Sunday. And that is a good example for general public engagement. The rest all is local community who live there, take care. This one is a public engagement. Okay. This is a very good model where public can just walk in and support the river initiative. Okay? And you go further down, we have Friends of Sungai Penchala, which is one of the tributary of Klang and Sungai Wei. And down to Klang, we have River Ranger, Sungai Udang, and so many people. I think there is a lot of good example. And then the other one, Friends of Sungai Langat also doing. But only thing now is what role they should play. That's important. So a lot of people are coming in and they join the wave into this. But what's most important is not be part of the model or the group, but ensure you play a significant role. So in GC, we always say that there must be at least 3 minimum activities you need to do. The first one is you need to know your river address. You need to know what's the river name that floats back, behind your area, number one. Number two, you need to know where your drinking water comes from. The third one is when you flush your toilet, where it ends up. Okay. These are 3 things you need to know your river address. That's why I call. Number two, you must monitor your river. Because as human beings, we always do health check. Why? Because we know that we need to maintain easy when you detect at the early stage. We don't want to wait until go into admitting the ICU and then you get treatment. Similarly, now most of the rivers is dead. And to revitalize the polluted river is not easy and not cheap. Sometimes even you pump billions of money, you cannot restore back. So it's better to protect and then restore rather than rehabilitate that. Okay, so you should monitor your river. In order to monitor the river, there's a lot of tools available. Okay, in the a lot of website, and one of the good example can be our River Ranger website, GEC's one. All the tools is free for you to download. We even have a river report card. You can have a report card and you can monitor, okay, what is the health of the river. I won't say water quality, you know. I won't say whether it's clean or not. River health, because river is a living entity. So we need to monitor the health. So we have divided into three elements: physically, chemically, and also biologically.
Okay.
Which is... River health is comprised of these three: physical, chemical, and biological. So we can have play significant role on this. We monitor that, especially the biological, because we have control on that.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much on the chemical, but biological we can control. Okay. And then the third one, you adopt the river. You can adopt your river stretch and then turn the river reserve into something useful without any permanent structure. GPS will encourage, LUAS will encourage, as long as you care for that. Mm-hmm. And of course, now under the ministry and championing also by DID, they're talking about river trail. So that accessibility to the river. So by having the river trail, people easily can go enjoy the river as well as be eyes and ears to monitor that.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the what community are doing, can do. And I always say the first thing you need to do is, again, I summarize that, know your river address. Number two, start to monitor. Okay. The third one, adopt the river and join a lot of ongoing activities. Check whether there's any river friends of rivers in your area. Join them. If not, contact GEC. We will provide information which community are in which area. If we know, definitely we can link them to the respective group and so on.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Kelly. That was so informative. I've been speaking to Dr. K. Kalitasan, who is the manager of the River Care Program at the Global Environment Center. And we were discussing, you know, it's a bit of an upstream battle to save rivers, but, you know, there are simple changes that we can do to ensure that this happens. And again, as Dr. Kali said, you know, if you'd like to get involved, if you'd like to find out more, just head to the website gec.org.my. That's the Global Environment Center website. And if you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.